The afternoon, each one gathered out again. It's a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to have a children's meeting, and it always blesses me in congregations where I've never been before that you see children, and you see young people, and you see parents of young children, you see middle-aged people, which I've entered that age, I guess, and then you see older folks, and it's just a blessing, and I see each one of those groups here today, and it blesses me. And no, Daniel, I did not have a safety harness on. Perhaps I should have, but it is very cumbersome. And I have worn them in the past. Another company I worked for, we did a lot of commercial work, and it is required by law. It is hard to set trusses with them, though. But I remember one particular incident stands out in my mind that we were working on a house roof. It's putting metal on a house roof over top of shingles. And we were working like we normally worked without the safety harness, and the OSHA officer stopped in, and he wasn't very happy to see us up and working on this roof with no safety equipment on. And of course we had a fine, and while I'm standing there and he's talking to me about this and about the seriousness of what I was doing, this motorcycle down the road goes, yum! And I'm thinking, I don't know why he can do that and I can't do this. Seems like my risk would be less than his, but anyway, it's the world we live in. But safety harnesses would have helped me, and I wouldn't have fell probably if I had been attached to at least something that was strong. So, for this afternoon's message, you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And while you do that, they produced me a whiteboard, and I'm going to draw what I had drawn this morning, what I showed you this morning. We call this 24 hours, one day. Then I'm going to divide it sort of like this. I'm going to put sleep here. I'm going to put work here. And in that work, as I mentioned this morning, it would be what we do to make a living. To make a living, you could say it's from a lady's perspective, what you do to keep your family clothed and fed so you have your meals, etc. That's all part of this. And then over here, we could have we get recreation, what we do with our relaxing time. We could say vacation. We could say prayer meetings. We could say evangelism. So in our minds, I kind of divide up my... Now, I know we talked about the 8, the 8, the 8. Of course, somebody said to me that I don't know where all this 8 hours goes. And I know most of us work a little more than 8, but you know, you take that line and you study about it, you know, somewhere maybe a little bit different, but there's still a section here that gets away from us really what happens to it. But anyway, just for a little reference. Now, we're going to read. Of course, I talked this morning about Jesus and about how he was here. And when he was here, he said, I'm the light of the earth. And he's not here anymore, but he left us a wonderful example on what living and serving his master looked like on earth. And we know as a young boy in Luke chapter 2, he went up to Jerusalem with his parents there, and he was 12, and they were headed home, and their 12-year-old wasn't with them. And you know how 12-year-olds think they're pretty independent. I've had a few of them in my life. And they think at that age where they think they're pretty independent and they can do their own thing and you don't have to worry about them. But as parents, we know that there's still a level of maturity they haven't gotten to yet. And so Jesus, his parents were the same way. They were headed home. And suddenly, where's Jesus? Well, he'll probably show up. And after a little bit of time, no, he didn't show up. And so what they do, they turn around and they go back and they're hunting for him. And his mother's worried. And she finds him sitting in the temple. And Jesus says, well, why did you look for me? Mary was like, Jesus, where have you been? We've been looking for you. We thought you were lost. Thought something bad happened to you. And he's like, well, I was just being about my father's business. And Mary didn't understand all that, but Jesus did. I was being about my father's business. In John chapter 4, Jesus said to his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. John chapter 5, I can do nothing of myself, but what I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. That was Jesus' entire life. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you're there. And I want to read. This is Paul. He's writing to the Corinthians here. And he's explaining the difference between the earthly and the heavenly. And I'm going to start in here, verse 50, because this part of the chapter gets me excited. And then the verse 58 is where our title comes from. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. We can't inherit the kingdom of heaven in these bodies. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And does anybody here want to just stay the way you are? No, we're looking forward to the time we'll all be changed, okay? And it's going to happen in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and what? The dead shall be raised incorruptible. And I remember a number of years ago, a preacher said that when you think about this, the last trumpet, when that trumpet blows and Christ is going to return and the dead is going to rise first, next time you're in a graveyard, you think about that, because we believe Jesus could come at any time. And what that would be like, we don't know. Maybe I'll be in a graveyard then and look into somebody's tomb, and all of a sudden the Lord returns. And what's going to happen first? Well, the dead's going to come up. So anyway, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now because of this, we have this last verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. And let's think about these words. They're because of who we serve, who we believe in. Someday we're going to be changed. Be ye steadfast. And steadfast, I'm just going to point out some of these words and the meanings of them. Be ye therefore steadfast means settled and unmovable. So it's, I guess kind of like that anchor, just something that doesn't move. And then we have kind of a follow-up of that, which is unmovable. And that is firmly persistent. So you have the idea of being steadfast, firmly persistent, right there. And then always, which is at all times in any event. So we're steadfast, we're unmovable. And we're always abounding. And that is to exceed beyond a certain fixed measure. So let's just say this is a cup and it's so full. An abounding cup, I guess you would say, it'd be just running over. It's beyond the fixed measure. It's just overflowing and pouring out. To exist or be hand in abundance. That's just the abounding part. And then in work. In the work. In the work of the Lord. So we could say in the work. Is the employment, the business of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, and your labor is your work, your toil, your weariness, is not in vain. And in vain means empty and without purpose. Anything you do for the Lord is never in vain, is never without purpose. Is not in vain in the Lord. Now I'll just read it straight through. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are you committed to that this afternoon? Are you committed to making sure your whole life, always? And so now I want to take this little drawing here. Sometimes we compartmentalize things. But when we're saying always, we're saying it's all the time. So we're abounding in the work of the Lord. A little hard maybe when you're sleeping. And when you wake up, you can pray for somebody. But even in your work and in your regular mundane activities, abounding in the work of the Lord. And over here, in all of this time where you aren't at work, whatever you're doing with your family, for your family, it's all abounding in the work of the Lord. It's a constant cycle, 24 hours, always. Are we committed to that? In 1 Corinthians 10, chapter, you know, I've turned to all these. I don't want to get too long here this afternoon, but 1 Corinthians 10:31, we have this. Whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, and this is Paul writing again, do all to the glory of God. Doesn't matter what you do, whether you're eating or you're drinking or you're working or you're playing, it's all to the glory of God. Are you committed to that? Colossians 3 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, teach the things which are above, Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affections not on things, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Again, I ask you, if you're committed to the kingdom of God, you're committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, are you going to commit to always abounding in the work of the Lord? I plan to take our thoughts for the message this afternoon from the parable in Matthew chapter 25. But before I go there, I'd like to use a little illustration to get our minds kind of in gear. So imagine in this audience, we probably have some people that are business owners, and we probably have some employees, some people that work for businesses. I'm just guessing. So I now own a business. God owns it, and I run a little part. I was recently at a place of business. I told him they had a nice little thing going there, and he says, that's just God owns it all. And he said, I just manage it, help manage it for him, help him or manage this little portion of his big business. He said, I kind of like that. But so I have a little business, and that God gave me, that God owns, and I just try to bring honor and glory to him with it. But before I had my own construction business, I worked for an individual, and I'm going to use him for illustration purposes because it feels better. But this individual was a businessman, and he had quite a number of employees, and we built things. Now, as a business owner, he had everything we needed, okay? This man had trucks. He had gooseneck trailers to haul equipment around. We had man lifts. We had all-terrain forklifts. We had battery nailers. Of course, took the place of the air guns back in the day when you drug a hose and nail things. Now you just go around with a little battery on a nail or a nail. And he had skid loaders, mini excavators. He had a dumpster truck to haul the junk away. He had everything. And he also had employees that he had different abilities in employees. There was ones that were more just laborers. He also had people in management to make sure that the laborers were being productive. And he would sell the buildings, and we would go out, and he would get all. And so what he would do is he would go out and sell a job, and then he would come back to the office. And I actually was a manager of the construction end of it. So he would give the drawings to me. Is this what we want to build? And then we would work at getting the equipment moved in place and everything ready to go. So once he had the building sold, and he had the employees that he needed, and he had all the equipment that he needed, and he had everything in place, then the building happened, right? I mean, the building went up. It was a done deal. Well, there's a missing link there, and that is the only way anything got built was if his employees said, we're going to build. If they got to the job that morning and they said, you know what, we really think today instead of building this building for this and for our employer, we're going to go fishing. And they left everything on the job and they went and did their own thing. Or maybe they said, you know what, this equipment and everything to build this building, we're going to take all that equipment and we're going to go over here and we're going to build ourselves a building. I've been wanting a little shop myself, and we could probably take that equipment. I could use it for the day, and I'll take that stuff over here and get my little side thing going here. And so you go over there and you build this nice little shed, and people drive down the road and they're looking and say, man, look what that guy's built. He's really, it's really amazing what he's doing there. And I'm kind of, as you know, a work kind of taking pride in what people say. And at the end of the day, none of it was yours. In other words, you simply stole from your employer and were using it as an employee. And I think all of us knows what would happen at the end of that story, that if that was what was happening, and the employer came out on the job, and your employer came out, if you had employees that were working for you, and you went out and saw this what was happening, you would say, you know what? I didn't need you guys. And you would give them, rather than a paycheck and a reward at the end of the day, you'd give them you're fired. And you would bring in other employees, and you would again try to get your business to work and get the building what you promised people to build. Well, all illustrations break down a little bit. But now I want to go to Matthew chapter 25. And I want to read this little story. And we know the story. (Clears throat) When we think about it, we read this story that we have. I'm going to call this the master. Look at him as God, as Jesus. That's no longer here on his earth, and I'm here on the earth in person. And we're going to look at the men and his servants as his employees. A little bit in the illustration I use. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man, chapter 25, verse 14 of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. And he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of their servants cometh and reckons with them. And so he that had gained, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou hadst therefore put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our master has given into each one's hand, each person's hand here, a talent. At least one. Probably in this audience, there's probably some here with 5 talents. Maybe there's 10 talents. Lots of talents in this audience. But at least everybody has one. And Jesus is not here, but God has is his plan that his people would continue to build. Now, the difference between my illustration and this illustration, that is, if you refuse to build, it'll still get built. Because God's kingdom will grow, whether we are involved in it or not. But God wants all of his people to get involved. And I see here in this story, it says he called together his servants, and I believe he called all of his servants. He doesn't just want a couple of them in his absence. He wants every one of his servants to get involved in this work. And in an audience like this, we have lots of different talents. And we live in a country. And I'm going to just list a few of these things that God has given us that we can use. We live in a country where we can make money. Earn money, not make money. Get hauled to jail for that. But you can earn money. And you can earn more money than it takes to stay alive. We live in a country where there's plenty of food. We had that here at the fellowship meal. We live in a country where we have religious freedom. We live in a country where we can each have our own Bibles. Several of them. And we can buy them and we can pass them out to our neighbors. We live in an era of time where we can communicate with people all over the world at the click of a couple of buttons pushed. And that message will go. And I don't understand. That's intriguing to me too. How you just hit the... And it just happens. Pictures and whatever. And it just goes. Instant communication with people all over the world, a matter of seconds. We live in a time where you can get in a vehicle like I did this morning and you can drive 210 miles in a couple hours and you can worship with people that you hardly know. It's just things you can do, and we're granted this. You can get in an airplane and you can, in a half day, you can be in another country. And God has given all these things. He's given us time and money and transportation and communication at our fingertips. Now, what are we going to do with it? We can use these things and we can build ourselves mansions. We can build ourselves nice mansions. We can have ourselves nice landscaping. We can have amazing landscaping. We can use these things and we can run top-of-the-line pickups, whether it's a High Country or a Lariat or a King Ranch, or I don't know if Dodge makes a nice one or not, but and we can use these things and we can get all to our business meetings right on time. And we can have clothing, and you can get the right coordinating collars, and you can have enough you only have to wash once a week. And you can have the right coordinating collars that whenever you come walking in, that people look, it's like, wow, that's neat, okay. And with a little bit of savings, you can plan for that nice vacation. And if you can't afford a vacation, maybe you can put it on a credit card and deal with it later. And there's some people do that. But we have all these things. And I'm speaking to myself too, because you see, at the end of the day, we can kneel beside our bed and we can say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us. And thank you, Lord, that we aren't maybe somewhere where they don't have all these things. And we have that amen. And somehow when God's when he's looking down and he kind of sighs and says, I've given him all this stuff. I've given you all these things. And it's not being used the way I intended. So how do we get it right? Because we do. We are surrounded with this stuff. Surrounded with it. And how do we get it right? Well, I have several points here to help us get on the right track. I don't know if we will always get it right. But point number one, we need to understand that we are all servants and we are not self-employed. It doesn't matter what you have today. It doesn't matter what you have when you go home. But there's nothing that you have that is absolutely yours. It's all been given. Like Brother David mentioned, we had food, but where did the food came from? Well, God allowed it to grow. He allowed it to be produced, and he simply gave it to us. Without health, we can't even work to make a living. So as men, we think, well, we worked hard and we've earned a little money. But that can change in an instant if you lose your health. So it's all God's. Everything we have, God has given to us. And we need to understand that. And God has simply taken these things that is his and he placed it into our hands. And he says, now, what are you going to do with it? And the second thing I have, and that is we need to understand that the work of the Lord is not just certain work in certain places, okay? And I kind of mentioned that here, but sometimes I think we get this idea, and I remember some years ago had instruction class with somebody. We were talking about doing some, you know, what you could do as far as being a servant, and I think the applicant meant it all well, but he's something about like he would like to go on a foreign mission field, okay? So is that what we have to do to get involved in the Lord's work? Do we have to go to Bangladesh? Do you have to go to Honduras? Do you have to go to New York City? Is that what it takes to get into the Lord's work? No, absolutely not. The Lord's work is everywhere. Maybe I should say everywhere, but right here, there's a church in Chambersburg that I went to years ago for some sort of, I don't know if it was a wedding or some get-together or something. And when I was leaving the driveway, it had this sign that said, you're now entering the mission field. And I thought that was interesting because really the mission field is, it's not certain spots, certain places, it's everywhere. It's when you leave this place and you hit that road, I don't care which direction you go, it's mission field everywhere. And we need to get that in our mind and we need to live that way and understand that it doesn't matter who I meet, where I meet and what I'm doing, am I showing them God? And I'm showing them a different way. And we live in a dark world and there's a lot of people that just want to see, they want to see something different, and we can offer that to them. We can offer it to them in our own neighborhoods. We don't have to go to foreign lands. Jesus said in John chapter 4, say ye not there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Before us, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I send you therefore unto the, enter ye in to their labors. And the third thing I have here, and that is to always abound in the work of the Lord takes conscious effort. It doesn't, it I don't think it's something that just happens. In life, we find that we learn that if you're gonna do something, it takes conscious effort. It does. I mean, you didn't just wake up this morning and haphazardly, and all of a sudden you ended up at church. You made plans. You said, "Well, I'm gonna get up at a certain time. I'm gonna eat breakfast. We're gonna get our Sunday clothes, and we're gonna get here. We're gonna go to church." Okay, it takes conscious effort. I mean, for the men, as far as getting married, you didn't just wake up some morning and bump into somebody. Oh, yeah, you said, "You know, I want to get married. I'm gonna hunt for a wife. I'm gonna find one that I think would suit me." And you put diligent effort into that relationship. It takes effort. Well, that's the same way with always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't think you just bump through life and you're just going to automatically be doing things for the Lord. I think you need to take conscious effort. And when you wake up, how am I today going to be able to affect somebody in a positive way and show them God? And it's something that I don't have it all mastered. I'm going to tell you that, but I'm just saying it's something that we have to consciously think about if we're going to be builders. And of course, if we look back at this parable, we can see that not everyone was given the same amount. We have the man that had the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. And that's the way it is in life. And that is in this congregation. There's people here that maybe you own land, maybe a large tract of land, maybe a large business. And there's people here that perhaps own a little house somewhere and work for somebody. Maybe there's somebody that rents a house. And so there's all this whole different scale, the whole different people in all different places in their life. But God wants every one of you to get involved. And so now for the second part of the message, I want to look at these servants a little bit. And first of all, I'd like to focus on the mistakes of the man with the 1 talent, because I don't like this. I think it feels not positive to end on that. I know that Jesus ended on that, but I'd like to end on the man with the head that returned that made things with their talents. I'm going to start with the mistakes the servant with the 1 talent made. In letter A, he focused on himself and his sphere. So this man, rather than looking at what he was given and saying, I'm gonna use it, and I'm gonna find a way to use it. It's not much, but I have a little bit, and I'm gonna build with it. He stepped back and he said, let's just use it back to our other illustrations. Maybe it was more money than he ever had at one time. And he looked at that and says, "I'm scared. I've never been given this much. Never had this much before. Never been given this much before. I'm not sure where I'm going to use it. I'm not sure what the best place to use it at." And so in the end, it just sat there. Didn't do anything with it. Maybe he had a means of transportation to go and bless somebody, but he was scared. He was shy, scared to leave home, and said, "Well, I'm just gonna." So it just left to sit. And maybe he had a means of communication and in his ability to reach out to somebody and bless somebody, but he said, "Maybe I'm just gonna say the wrong thing." And we know what that's like. At least some of us, we don't quite know what to say. Might say the wrong things. You just don't say anything. Maybe that's what this man did. And perhaps he was given an extra allotted amount of time, but he looked at his time and he thought, "Well, I don't know how to use it, but there's so many things I could do that I don't know what to do with it." And in the end, the time that he was given to use to build the kingdom was wasted in trying to decide what he should do, and at the end of the time it was gone, and he had done nothing. You see, that's what happens. Focus on yourself and the fear of what might happen. Maybe he realized that there was actually work involved. You know, this talent was going to take work. And in order to increase the kingdom, does take work. There's it doesn't matter what you get involved in. It's going to take work. You have to apply your mind. And maybe he just says, "You know what? I don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it." Perhaps he was given less abilities or opportunities and money of those around him. He looked at everybody else around him and says, they have it so put together, they can do it. I'm not good. I'll probably make a mistake out of myself. Maybe as a new employee, as a new Christian, he didn't totally understand the master. And he was kind of scared that maybe the man told me recently that he's thinking about making a commitment to Christ, but he's just afraid he'll mess up. And I'm not sure how you help a man like that. It's like, well, he just wants your commitment. But if we focus on ourselves and whether we'll get it done right and whether we'll fail, we'll probably end up not using it. And the second thing was in building the same thing, and that is that he did nothing with it. He had this opportunity, he had this talent, and his mistake was he just did nothing. And we can easily fall into that. It's just, well, maybe somebody else will do it, and we just nothing happens. And God says, I've given you these things. I've given you whatever he's given you into your hands, your life, your next breath, your tomorrow. He's given you, and he's saying, use it. Use it for something. So the second thing I have here, and how to use the talents. How do we use the talents we're given to always abound in the work of the Lord? And letter A I have is focus on the opportunities you have and use them. Don't dig a hole and bury it. Look around you. There's opportunities. And in an audience like this, there's different opportunities you have. And maybe you say, well, I'm young and I'm a young person. I just recently committed my heart to the Lord. I'm still at home with my family, maybe still going to school. But what can I do? Well, you can just be that person that goes to school that people know that whatever decision the teacher makes or whatever, that you won't be that one that's always against it. You'll show a peace and a joy that can come only through serving the Lord. You can show your younger siblings what that looks like. Maybe you're here and you're in your late teens or early 20s and have not yet married. And I love that age because there's a lot of energy that happens in that's in that age that I've seen. And energy is good, but don't use all that energy, like I said this morning, to just pour into yourself. Find ways to pour it out and bless others. I mean, you can pour it all into your hunting and your fishing and whatever you want to do for yourself, but bless the neighbor. Somebody here mentioned about they do some lawn work for older people on weekends. That's wonderful. That's perfect. I split some firewood. There's all kinds. I know years ago, this is a selfish thing, I guess, but not really selfish. I didn't ask for it. But the young people in our congregation decided they were going to get together and make some food and take it and bless their ministry. Well, I was reciprocal with that. It was a blessing. But it was people that was doing more than just something for themselves, okay? It was reaching out beyond themselves and trying to bless somebody else. You can bless people in your own congregation. It was a real blessing. And I didn't feel like I deserved it, but it was very, very, very kind thing. And it's just those little things. Just those little things that you can do. I mean, Cam has these projects, and we even have them in our churches where you can go and help for disaster places where there's hurricanes. And young people do it. I wish I would have when I was young, and I didn't. For some reason, I guess, I don't know, maybe I was too workaholic. I never went on these projects. But it's a wonderful opportunity. Bible schools. There's things that you can do with what God has given you, these opportunities to grow yourself. And to help build God's kingdom. And for mothers here, and I know sometimes ladies and mothers, sometimes you feel like that, what can you do? Well, home. Home is what you do. There's children. It's wonderful. Mother's most important spot for a mother is at home. And there's not a more worthy outreach effort that you can do other than reaching out to those little children and sing them songs about Jesus. Teach them to sing. When that thunder claps and the lightning flashes, point them to God. And that's God. That's His power. And that's taking what God has given you at your stage in time in life to teach the children. And of course, I say when you go to a doctor's, you know, most of us know what it's like to go to a doctor's office or go to the store. And by the way, I've said this before, and I like to shop online, but it's hard to witness to Amazon. So you need to go to the store sometimes and just give that clerk a good old smile. And when they ask about your children, point them to God and tell them, well, you know, God gave us these children, and you say they're beautiful. It's a creation of God. And you can point people that way. And you can't do that from your living room. I know. It's something we have to, I think, consciously. It's a wonderful thing for ladies to take that opportunity sometimes and go out and give that clerk a smile. It's something you can do. And I know there's ladies that are really good at really good at sewing, and they like to sew. Well, do more than just sew for yourself or your family. Bless somebody, some other busy mother in the church, or maybe there's. We had an older gentleman have a little egg business at my farm there. We have a little farmette there, and we sell eggs. Little fridge, you come put your money and buy eggs. And I had this old gentleman one day that came there and bought eggs, and I don't know, he must have decided my wife was some sort of a seamstress, and he came and wanted her to sew up his bib overalls. So my wife started sewing bib overalls for this old man. Had me a little concerned for a while, but it all was good. But there's ways you can reach people, even as mothers. If you have opportunities, look for the opportunities that you have. And then as fathers, we have fathers in you say, well, my talent's not very good, but maybe you don't feel like that you have the ability to lead songs. And Brother Lamar's been doing a really good job here at leading songs. I'm inspired by his song leading. And maybe you don't feel like you can teach Sunday school or have an inspirational devotions like others can. And God does give different abilities, but When somebody asks you to serve, the important thing in life, and that is when you're asked to serve, simply serve. You know, don't say, well, how can I serve? Sometimes it feels like when you make phone calls to people to try to get them to come for special services or whatever, it's like, well, and you're trying to say they're hunting for excuse not to, or it feels like that. And I'm saying, as God's people, we should say, absolutely. That's what I want to do. If I can come and try to bless somebody, and I tell people, if you don't think you can lead songs, when they ask you to lead, lead one time, and the congregation will decide whether they'll ask you again or not. I mean, you don't have to worry about that. Just do it, and let the congregation decide. We don't have to decide what our gifts are. We don't have to decide what our talents are all the time. All we have to do is simply serve when somebody asks you to serve, and that's all God wants. Abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's the other thing as fathers I think about, and that is our sons watch us. Our children watch us. And recently there was a little situation that happened, and we had a little chorus at our church. We had a chorus at our church. We went around singing some old people's hymns with this chorus and stuff, and so I was doing a little bit of research on what the young people thought of the course, because we had never done it before. We had a district course between three of our congregations. I was doing a little bit of feeling, you know, what the young people thought of this course, because I was involved in the course committee. It's nice to know whether a little feedback to see if it was the first year for it. And so I was getting some little tidbit feedback. Well, I also have young people that sang in it, my two sons, and I got their feedback. And so we had a committee meeting, and we were talking about what we had found out. And what my sons told me was very interesting. They sang some nice songs, but when they went to sing at the rest homes, I've always thought that when you sing at a rest home, you sing some of the old songs, Rock of Ages, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Well, the chorus did not have any of those kind of songs in. And my boys came over to the chorus saying, Dad, it seemed pointless to anything. We didn't sing anything they knew. And you know, I've said that for years, because we go in and sing at old people's homes Sunday afternoons. But without me basically teaching that, they came back, and after hearing that many times, that's what they think, the same thing. Do you know that you have that much influence? Whatever you're saying around your table, whatever you're discussing, and your boys are growing from this size to this size, you're impacting them. And that's about in the work of the Lord. What are we doing with that? We can either influence them that to appreciate the church, to appreciate biblical truths, and to serve the Lord, or we can teach them that this stuff don't matter. We go to church in our spare time, when we have time. We serve the Lord if it's convenient. And other than that, it's something as dads we need to think about. And of course, in most congregations, there's also people that are older, and God does not have it for that everyone should get married. It's not God's plan that everyone marries. And you could focus on the fact that you wish you were in somebody else's shoes. You wished you were a married person in your arm. What's this about? Well, there's certain places in God's kingdom that those who aren't married can serve. That those who are married can. Mothers, they're limited in their ability to serve outside the home. But with single sisters, etc., There's places you can volunteer. There's places you can serve in different areas. There's people that are lonely in our communities, just want somebody to sit down and listen to them. And I know that some young sisters have done that. And it's a wonderful way that they can bless people. And then maybe you're older. And I love older people because I'm always kind of gracious with older people because I've never been there yet. I'm headed there, I guess, but I'm not there yet. But sometimes you talk to older people and they have this ache and this pain and this whatever, and it can be kind of dismal. And I'm thinking, could that older person just take, maybe this is just a challenge for the old people. Can you just say, well, I'm not feeling very good, but I'm going to get a new body, and it's going to be soon. And see how that changes and people start thinking about God, because the doctor's going to wonder, what do you mean by that? Well, that's your opportunity. And I'm not there yet. I don't know if my goal is to be able to do that. There's an old man that comes to our church sometimes. He used to come a little more often, but he's an old neighbor man of mine. And I remember the first time I met him, and I asked him how he was doing. His right out of his mouth, I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. I'm saved and washed in the blood, and I've got my ticket to glory through the blood of Jesus, and I'm looking forward, I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm waiting for the trumpet to sound and get up off the ground, or something like that. And this guy's, and until he was done, I'm looking at him saying, I mean, that's, and how many people that I meet, and I say, how are you doing? They look at me, well, I can't complain. Is that all we have? Can't complain. Do you want to? I mean, if I have to ask you after church how you're doing, please don't tell me that. I mean, as born again believers, that's how you doing? Well, I'm blessed. I mean, praise God. There's another day. I have another opportunity. I have a family. I can't complain. And I hear that a lot, actually, and it bothers me. But anyway, you can think about that. I don't know how you answer. But can we always abound in the work of the Lord and just try to point people to Him in our daily conversations? Is it possible? I think it is possible. Another thing that we need to do in order to always abound in the work of the Lord, and that is we need to don't focus. This is something we don't want to do. It does. Don't focus on the opportunities of others and what they're doing with them. And we can go to the example of Peter, and in John chapter 21, and we have Jesus giving Peter a work, and it's John chapter 21 verse 15. If you want to jot it down, I have it here in my notes. I'll just read it. But of course we have, so when they had done, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I sayest unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and others shall gird thee, and carry thee without, whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by the death, that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter turned around, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned upon his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, what shall this man do? And how often in life is that our response? We have this one more thing that comes, and we look around and say, But what's everyone else doing? Why is it my job? Why is it my responsibility? Why is one more time I have to do this? What's so-and-so doing? What did Jesus say? What's that matter to you? What's that matter to me? What does matter to me what they're doing or what they're not doing that I think they should be doing? What's that matter? Always Jesus is saying, I want you to do this. We don't have to worry about what everybody else. All you have to worry about is am I doing what he's wanting me to do? Am I doing the next thing he's putting in front of me? Am I using what he's given me to build his kingdom? And am I using it every time he gives it, instead of saying, well, this time we'll, but the next time somebody else's turn? And we get people in the road. Can we lay that down? And then lastly, in order to get involved in kingdom work, and that is we need to learn to grow in our weak points. So we know that there's different abilities. And those of you who have children, you know what it's like when you get that bicycle out and you take it to that 3 or 4 year old and say, "Hey, let's ride a bike." And they say, "We can't ride that thing." And you get them up on that bike and you hang on to them for a while, and they're wild and they fall off and they... But guess what? Eventually they can ride, okay, with practice. So maybe you think somebody asks you to do something. We'll take the song leading thing. And you say, "No, I can't do it." Well, you'll never learn unless you practice. Because guess what? People can do all kinds of things that they practice. I mean, whenever they came out with the ripsticks, which I think it was a in thing that now, whenever they came out with them ripsticks, and I saw them on the shelf at Walmart, and they had wobbly wheels and the whole board wobbled, and to this day I can't ride them. I guess they didn't practice enough. My children got these things, and I got them for my children. And they learned to ride them. It was a nice thing for them to ride. But how do they learn? Well, it takes practice. It takes effort. And that's the way it is with our talents. Maybe you aren't the most talented in whatever area that you're asked to serve in, but serve anyway. And in the end, you will learn to ride the bike. Now, there's going to be people that's still going to stay in wheelies and ride on the rear wheel probably. Maybe you never will, but that's okay. There's different abilities. We had a Bible Discovery thing in there in Winchester and at a little church in town there on Thursday nights. And I was in there on Thursday night, and we took the children out for a little activity to play in the yard. And there was this fellow that come down and rode on his motorcycle, and he stood the thing up on the hind wheel and rode for, and he saw we were watching, so he turned around and came back and did it again. Well, that's kind of neat. Well, not everybody's going to do that, okay? My point is that you don't all have to do that, but everybody can ride a bike. Everybody can ride a motorcycle. Everyone can, at some level, you can all serve. And we can serve each other. We can serve in the church. And we can help to build the kingdom. It's at some level, we can. And simply, where you're asked, where you're called, serve. The servant said, "With what you gave me, I have gained." And gaining something takes effort. And what's really interesting about this story, and that is, you know, the man that had 5 talents gained 5. He had 5 and he gained 5. The man was given 2, he gained 2. Now, in a congregation, you know, there's different abilities of talents. There's different levels of prosperity, maybe monetary value or whatever. But what I was going to say is in the 5 talents, so he got 5 more. The man that had 2 gained 2 more. The man that had 1 didn't gain anything. So now if the man that was given 5 talents, what if he only came back with 4? And you can think about that. Is it okay that if we're given lots of things and we say, "Well, we're going to use most of it. We're going to funnel this much to this cause. We're going to keep a little portion for ourselves." Is that the 1 talent? And if the man that had the 5 talents only came back with 4, the man that had the 2 talents only came back with 1, and he wasted the 1 on himself, what if he received the same punishment? I think that he would have. "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When the Lord returns, which is going to be at any moment, in a moment, the last trumpet, when the Lord returns, are you going to have something to show for the talents, the resources that he gave you? Are you going to have something to show for the building that you have done on his behalf? Or is it only going to be what you built for yourself? Are you building his kingdom or your kingdom? Are we committed to always abound in the work of the Lord? I pray that we are. Let's kneel for prayer.